please, this morning and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12 this morning. Hebrews, chapter number 12. Well, we had a good week this week. Everybody had a little bit of downtime, I think. At least I know I did, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Thanksgiving, probably one of my favorite holidays of the year, and being able to spend with family, friends, and, of course, my favorite food, turkey dressing, mashed potatoes, and gravy, amen. But I'm thankful for the holiday, thankful for Veterans Day that we looked at this past week also, and all of our veterans that served our country. And may I say thank you for your service and your dedication. We live in safety today here in the United States of America because of the sacrifice that our military have given over the years, and I'm thankful for that. Hebrews chapter number 12 this morning, beginning in verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you and we look at your word this morning, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I'm sure that there are some that are here today that are wearied in their minds and some that are ready to faint in their journey. But Lord, help us to look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, to remember all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would flee to the cross, that they might find forgiveness and salvation. I pray, Lord, for your blessing upon thy people. Draw us all close to thee. We'll give you the praise and the glory for everything that's said and done in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want you to notice a few words with me this morning. I like doing word studies. I find it a great help to me. It says in verse number 1 that we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. I believe that the Apostle Paul, who is the writer here of the book of Hebrews, I believe, is talking about chapter number 11, all the people that have died in the faith. It's called Hebrews 11 as the roll call of faith. And it talks about all the Old Testament characters. It talks about Abraham and Isaac and talks about Jacob and talks about different ones that live for God and they live by faith. And then he goes on, it says, wherefore? In other words, considering those things was mentioned beforehand, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about all those people that have gone on before us. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I like what Brother Michael said during our Thanksgiving service. He talked about patience. And I like the whole theme of that idea and some things that he brought to my mind that I just had not thought about. We need to be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Time is passing very quickly, and it will soon be here. It wasn't long ago. I was just a little boy running through the barnyard, playing with my baseball bat and ball glove and baseball and throwing the ball to my brother Dave and just being a kid. Boy, how time flies. And we are to run with patience the race that is set before us. And then it says in verse number 2, notice that very first word. What is it? Looking. looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says we are to be looking unto Jesus. There's another word in verse number 3. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." That word "consider" and the word "looking" has the same idea. A little bit different word, but it gives us the idea that we are to gaze at. The word in verse number 2, the word "consider," means to intensely look upon. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown in his commentary said this, that this word "looking" means to look from afar. Kind of like Abraham did when he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He looked from afar and he looked by faith to see a city of God, a place where he was going to dwell for all of eternity. That word "looking," according to Adam Clark, he said this, "The word "looking" speaks of an illusion of the Greek games. Those who were running the race were to keep their eyes fixed on the prize. They must keep their focus on the goal that was ahead of them. He said that's what the word "looking" means. As a runner is in his starting blocks waiting for the gun to go off, he looks beyond the finish line, beyond the tape, and he runs through it, looking from afar off. You know, each and every one of us are looking from afar off. We look for a place called heaven. We look for forgiveness. We look for salvation. And we look afar off. We say that through Christ we've experienced salvation, and those of us that know Christ certainly have. But the end of our salvation, we look afar off yet, because none of us have fully experienced it as of yet. And then in verse number 3, I want you to notice one word. It's the word "consider." The word "consider," like the word "looking," means to gaze upon. Figuratively, it means to contemplate or to consider something, to look at and to take in full scope of what is really going on. The Bible says that we are to run our race with patience, the race that is set before us. We are to look unto Christ, look from afar off, look to Him as we run. And then it says, consider Him or gaze at Him. Contemplate on Him as we run. There are a lot of people today that are considering a lot of things. Today there are some that are considering lunch. That's all they can think about. I woke up at about 4:45 this morning. My wife put a crock pot, a roast with potatoes and carrots and onions and all of those things. And I woke up this morning with I thought I was a mad dog. I was drooling. And I thought, what in the world? And it was the aroma of that crock pot and that which was inside of it. I'll be honest with you. I thought about a 3-minute message so I could go home and eat. I really did. Not going to happen, but I thought about it. And there are people today when they all around the world, they go to church. You know what they're thinking about? Where am I going to go eat? What's for lunch? Who's going to meet me at such and such restaurant? And that's what they're considering. Some are considering their children in the nursery. Some are considering their problems at work. Or maybe they're considering a wayward child. Today, some are considering divorce. Some are considering suicide. Some are considering cheating on their spouse. Some are considering all kinds of atrocities. I'm here to tell you, people are considering a lot of things today. There are teenagers that are considering voluntarily surrendering their purity because of what other people may think. Some are thinking about graduation. Some are thinking about marriage. Others are worried about finances, or they're worried about their job. Some are wondering, well, just how high will inflation drive the prices of things at the grocery store? This morning, what are you considering? Because each and every one of us are running the race that God has set before us. Now, some are running a good race and some are running it very poorly. Some have actually sat down along the sideline waiting for others to pass them up. But nevertheless, all of us are in a race, and we are racing towards eternity. And the grasp of eternity will embrace us all. And none shall escape. And as we run the race that God has set before us, who or what are you looking to? As we're running the race that God has set before us, what are we considering? Or who are we considering this morning? This morning, as we consider these examples, what do they all have in common? They have this one thing in common. Regardless of where you're at in life's race, I think we need to look to Him, because He is the only one that can help us in the end. Amen. This morning, I'd like to have you consider several things. We are all in a race, rushing towards eternity. I think we need to look unto Jesus because of who He is. Who is He? I remember reading a story about a sailor. And this sailor sailed with Sir Francis Drake and was sailed around the world and on all the seas. And as he sailed, he gave his life to the captain. He returned broke, destitute, health failing. And a man came up to this sailor and said, "Sir, what do you really have? For all the years that you've been on the seas," he says, "let me tell you some things." He says, "while on the sea, I've been hungry, cold. There was a time when I was shipwrecked. There was a time when we've been in storms and I was afraid for my life." But he says, "I'm here to tell you, to be able to sail under Sir Francis Drake, he was the greatest captain that ever sailed the seas. And for that, I count it great joy being able to serve under him." This sailor, regardless of the problems that he had as he was sailing, he remembered this. He remembered who he sailed with. And today, regardless of the problems that we go through in life, we need to remember who sails with us. Amen? I think we need to consider, and we need to remember, and we need to look unto the one who really is, who he really is, and who exactly is he. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now that word author has the idea of, and we think of the fact, he wrote it, he planned it, and that is true. But the word author means that he is our leader. He is our captain. He is the one that is in control. And then also, I want you to notice that He is the author. He is the finisher. That word finisher has to do with the idea of being a completer. One that is going to complete that which was started. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Jonah chapter number 2 and verse number 9, salvation is of the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Do you know Him? Who is the one that is the author of salvation? It is the Lord. Who is the finisher of our salvation? It is the Lord. And He that gave us salvation will see that salvation through until the day of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Just exactly who is He? He's the author and the finisher. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1 through 3, He is the creator of all life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Listen, God created all things. I think we need to consider that. John said the same thing in John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. You see, we need to understand when we're going through the trials of life and we are running the race that God has set before us, we need to look unto Jesus. We need to consider who He is, and He is the creator of all life. Many times we fail just to remember who He is. In Colossians chapter number 1, take your Bible and turn over there. I want you to see this if you would. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 16 and 17. Verse number 14, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Notice verse 16, it says, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. If you have any question who this is, verse 20 tells us. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think we need to look unto the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Him, the Bible says. Why? Because He created all life. Colossians 1:17, He sustains all life. You know why you're here today? Because God allowed you to be. God is the one that gave you the strength to get out of bed and to put your shoes on. God is the one that has given you the strength to get down the road and get here to church. In Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 5, the Bible says that He is the Alpha and the Omega. In verse number 7 and 8, He is the first and the last. The Bible says He was the one that was alive and is dead and is alive forevermore, verse 17 and 18. I think when we're going through and we're running the race that God has set before us, maybe we ought to look to Him and consider who He is. The second thing I'd like to have you consider this morning, I think we ought to consider what He's done. What has Jesus Christ done for us? Besides creating this world in a literal 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested, according to Genesis chapter number 1 and John chapter number 1 and Colossians chapter number 1, we find before He went to the cross of Calvary, He prayed for you and I. In John chapter number 17 and Verse number 9, he went a little bit farther and he fell on his knees and he began to pray. Turn to John chapter 17. Notice what the Word of God has to say. In verse number 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me, for they are thine. Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples. But it goes on and it says in verse number 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Look at verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but I pray for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples. He prayed to keep them from evil, and he prayed for you and I. He prayed for those that should believe on him through their word. Hey, that's me. I believed on Christ because of the word that's been passed down to me through the ages. I think we need to consider what he's done. Look at Matthew chapter number 27. What has he done? Jesus Christ has done a lot. In Matthew chapter number 27, probably one of the greatest gospel accounts of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We find that he stands before Pontius Pilate. Pilate washes his hands. And then they lead him off to be crucified. In verse number 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus unto the common hall and gathered a whole band of soldiers. Look at verse 28. And they stripped him. Verse 26 tells us that they scourged him. Verse 27, they stripped him. And then they put a scarlet robe on him. They mocked the one that created the world. The one that allowed to give them breath. They tried to humiliate. You know, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have destroyed them all. He could have started all over if he chose to. They stripped him. They put on him a scarlet robe, verse 29. They plaited a crown of thorns. They wove a crown of thorns and then they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him, began to mock him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Look at verse 30. Probably one of the most detestable things that any human being can do to another human being. And they spit on him. And took the reed and smote him on the head. Remember, they placed the crown of thorns on his head. Now they took his reed and they began to beat him on the head with it, driving those thorns into his brow. I've done some reading on the thorns that they used. More than likely, it was a thorn that was native to that land, and some of those thorns actually grew up to 4 inches long, and the ends of the barbs were actually poisonous, and as they would cut you or pierce you, they would have an intense burning sensation and a swelling that would take place. And they took the crown and they beat it on with the reed. And it goes on, it says in verse 31, and after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put on his own raiment and led him forth to be crucified. And they came and they found a man of Cyrene and they compelled him to bear the cross, it says in verse number 32. And then we find that they crucified him. Verse 35. They drove nails in his hands and in his feet, and they took a spear and they thrust it into his side. At the foot of the cross, they gambled for his garment. Verse 35. Verse 39 through verse number 44, they walked by, they wagged their heads, they mocked him. They said, if you're really the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. Listen, you better thank God he didn't come down from the cross. Amen. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. In verse 45 and verse number 46, there was darkness. And about the ninth hour, Jesus Christ cried out from the cross. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Many people believe at this point in time that the sin of mankind was placed upon the Savior. And God the Father turned his back on his own Son. The only time in eternity when the Father and the Son was actually separated. And that happened because he loved you and he loved me. We find in the scripture that he was buried. But it didn't end there. I'll tell you what he did. In Matthew chapter number 28, after that he died and after he was buried, the third day, he arose again, just as the scripture said. He was seen of Mary and he was seen of Peter and he was seen of the other disciples. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 12. I want you to see a word that God spoke to me about this week. As I was looking at this passage of Scripture. Can I ask you a question? How many of you like trouble? Any of you like adversity? Any of you like heartache? Look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the, what's the next word? Joy. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Are you saying, preacher, that he enjoyed being scourged and being stripped and mocked and having the crown of thorns on his head and being crucified? Did he enjoy all of that? No. He did not enjoy that. But he took joy realizing what was going to happen after that. He took joy realizing that the sin debt was going to be paid for all of eternity. That all of mankind could come to him. That they could go ahead and receive forgiveness. They could receive salvation. And that he could spend eternity in a place called heaven with them. That's why he took joy. And as we run the race that is set before us, we need to look to who he is. We need to look at what he has done for us. We need to look at what he is doing right now. Jesus Christ is doing something today for you and for me. In Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3, the Lord says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In Matthew 21 and verse number 22, it says, in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. In John chapter number 14 and verse 13, Jesus said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen, what is Jesus Christ doing? Jesus Christ is our mediator and he is answering our prayers. And as we are running the race with patience that God has set before us, maybe we ought to consider spending some time in prayer for the one who answers prayer. What is he doing? Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25 tells me he is interceding for me. When the accuser of the brethren stands before the gates of glory and calls out our name and accuses us of wrongdoing, the Father looks over at the Son and the Son says, paid in full. Amen. He is interceding. It says in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost to come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And so when we say something wrong or do something wrong or think something wrong, listen, the Lord is there and he is our advocate. He is our daysman, according to Job chapter number 9, verse number 1. He is our go-between. He is our mediator, according to 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 5. And he stands between a holy God and sinful mankind. And he pleads our case. You know what he says? Paid by the blood of the Lamb. Paid in full. And because of that, we're a sinner saved by grace, and we can declare, I can go in. I can enter into glory. Not because of me, but because of him. He is interceding. He is answering prayer. What is he doing right now? Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come in again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is preparing a mansion for those that know him. Amen? Hey, do you know him today? You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? He is preparing us a mansion. You know, here's the marvelous thing. We live in a beautiful world. This world is breathtaking. There are some areas, now I'm not talking about New York City or Chicago or places like that. You can have those places. But I'm talking about the Grand Tetons or the Grand Canyon. I'm talking about Niagara Falls. I'm talking about the Swiss Alps, the Himalayas. The beautiful sunsets over the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic. The beautiful sunsets around the oceans, the tropical isles. We live in a beautiful world. It took God 6 days to create all of that. And 2,000 years ago, he said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for y'all. Can you imagine what it's going to be like if he's spending 2,000 years? It only took him 6 days to create all this. And he's going to spend 2,000 years preparing us a mansion? Man, it's got to be great. Amen? He's preparing us a mansion. What is he doing? Jesus Christ right now is in heaven. And he's waiting and listening. Say, waiting and listening. He's waiting and listening for the Father's command, go get my children. Yeah. He's waiting and listening. For the time is going to come when he that tarries is going to tarry no longer. And he will come. Mm-hmm. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels, but my Father only. The Apostle Paul said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know what the Lord is doing right now? The Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Bob, he is waiting. He's waiting for the Father to say, go get my children. Man, what a time is that going to be? When all of a sudden he steps out into the clouds and the angel of the Lord sounds his trumpet and the voice of the archangel shouts and we're out of here. Just like
1 Corinthians 15 in a moment, at the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound and we shall be changed. Well, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to that time. What is he doing? He is waiting and he's listening for the Father's command. Are you ready? If the Lord come back today, say, oh, preacher, I've heard that so many times all of my life. That's all I've ever heard. Just think how much closer you are now than what you were. With everything that's going on in the world, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. Jesus Christ is returning. I would encourage you to do a good study of Psalm 83. There is a coming war. The Psalm 83 war is ready to break loose. And I'm here to tell you, it is going to usher in the tribulation period. But before that happens, the rapture is going to take place. And we better be prepared. And we better prepare our loved ones. There's a third or a fourth thing I'd like to have you look at this morning. Not only look at who he is and look at what he's done and look at what he's doing, but look at what he will do. Look at what he will do. In John 14:3, he will come again. In Revelation 22 and verse number 12, he will reward his children. It says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. He is going to establish his kingdom. In Isaiah chapter number 2 and verse number 4, the Bible describes this great kingdom that is going to come. An everlasting kingdom that will never be destroyed. This great verse is plastered on our across Washington, D.C. on monuments. It says, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Boy, won't that be a glorious time? What is he going to do? He's going to come and establish his everlasting kingdom. What is he going to do? He is going to judge the lost. In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 31, it says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men that he hath raised him from the dead. He is going to come and judge the lost. And what will he do? Let me close with this idea. What will Jesus Christ do? He will save all that come to him by faith. And he will not turn away a single one. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you trusted Christ? Have you asked him to be your Savior? He will save that repentant sinner. Those that turn to him by faith. Look back at Hebrews 12. Look at the last part of verse number 1. You find Hebrews 12:1? You found that? Raise your hand high. If you got a King James Bible, read it with me. All right? If you don't have a King James Bible, it's not going to make a whole lot of sense. It'll sound like everybody's talking a different language. But listen, it says in the last part of the verse, and read it with me, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We are all running a race into the grasp of eternity. As we run, some are considering a lot of things. Let us all look unto Jesus.
the author and the finisher of our faith. You got trouble? Look unto Jesus. You got worry? Look unto Jesus. You have fears? Look unto Jesus. You have wayward children? Look unto Jesus. In need of salvation? Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our captain. He is our guide. He is our completer. Let's look unto Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before You, we are thankful for who You are, what You've done, what You're doing, and what You will do. Help us, Lord, in the